You're going to have two memory scriptures, and they're on the front of your bulletin, Jeremiah and Matthew. You're also going to have to know three reasons why we're doing this class, which is, one,
solidify.
I'm sorry, buddy. You're going to fail the test like that. Now, come on. One is two.
Solidify.
Two is two.
Solidify.
Three is two.
Solidify.
Man, you already got one of the questions. And if you're trying to study with someone who doesn't know faith in Jesus, what book are you going to read with them?
John.
Man, those two questions might be on the test. That's awesome. So you know your scriptures. You're also going to need to know the scriptures we're about to go through in order and information from the introduction to the class. Now, a couple more things to go over with you before we dive in.
Come on, bro.
Again, we talked about we're going to study the Bible with someone who doesn't know God or isn't a Christian. Now, we need to work together to pick a name. What's a great name for a non-Christian that we can study with?
Bobby.
Okay, Bobby, what else?
Carlos.
Okay, Latin Ministries down the hall. Amen. Sally, I think we're going to keep it a guy since I'm a guy, but...
George.
Zeke.
Esau,
let's go with Esau. There we go. Some of you can't even spell Esau. Amen. Now we need a good name for a fired up young Christian. What's a good name for a fired up?
Bobby.
Jacques?
Jay.
What's that? Jay? Come on.
Dre.
Well, he's about to get baptized. Amen.
Dre.
Greg?
Bobby.
Bobby? Okay, no, no. Johan? Okay, let's go with Bobby. Let's go with Bobby. Let's go with Bobby. So, Bobby has been baptized. He's a young Christian. And he's growing to maturity. He's fighting to get those first principles down. And he's out at his job. And he goes to lunch. And there in the cafeteria at his job, he looks over and he sees Esau. Okay, this non-Christian guy.
Whoa.
And guess what, guys? Hey, Esau's eating alone.
Oh.
At work. But Bobby is a fired up, full of faith, bold young Christian. He's not going to let Esau eat alone. So he says, I got to love everybody. So Bobby goes over and says, hey, can I sit here with you? And Esau says, cool. So he sits down and they start doing what? Before you say, Bobby, you got to talk. You got to build a friendship. So they start getting to know each other over lunch at work. And then, you know, Bobby says, hey, Esau, why don't you come out? Because me and some of the brothers are going to play football. You might see at midnight, like they did just the other day. And he goes, yeah, I'm a young single dude. Let's go. So Esau goes out, plays football, and actually enjoys meeting and likes the brothers. Amen.
Amen.
So they're out there, and he's loving it. And finally, Bobby goes, dude, why don't you come to church? So he comes to church on Sunday. He says, well, like Kevin told me a minute ago, he goes, man, I love the energy here. Right? That's how Esau is. He just loves the energy. And so Bobby gets up the nerve, and he goes, dude, we need to study the Bible. So, of course, he goes out and he purchases a Bible and he writes a nice little inscribed note in there and gives it to Esau, and they set up a time to study. Then we come in and we all get together to study the Bible. Now, when you come in, you're all going to just sit down, you're going to have a little small talk, but then very quickly, what do you need to do?
Pray.
You got to get God involved.
Because
we really want Esau to make it this time. Amen?
Yeah.
Make the right choices. And we got to get God involved because we aren't enough to change his life. We can't do it. Our great teaching isn't going to do it. God Almighty in his word is going to work. So you pray. Now after you've had that prayer, you're going to explain a little bit about the study to Esau. Like, dude, we're going to go through some scriptures here. And we're going to take turns reading. Okay? I'll read the first scripture. Then Bobby is going to read. And then you can read the third scripture and we'll just rotate like that. Now, why do you do it that way?
So they can read it themselves.
Yeah.
Better than Starbucks. Whoa. Wait, no.
Okay. So, But you know, that's why you do it. So nobody zones out and goes to sleep.
That's right.
That's exactly right. You got to keep everybody reading or Bobby's going to fall asleep over there. Because
yeah.
He's so fired up, he's not sleeping much, and he's tired. I remember falling asleep in a study once. Anyway, I'll tell you about that. So, what's really bad is if you fall asleep and you're leading the study.
Open
your eyes. So you got to trade reading the scriptures. Amen? Also, you want to bring a notepad. Okay? And either you or Bobby can take notes for Esau. Now, you want to take notes for him so he can focus on the study while we're going through it. But then he can go home and review those notes and study over them later. Amen?
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what's really awesome? I went to church my whole life. But I was 23 years old before I sat down and studied the Bible like this. Just a few guys, scriptures open, focused on me. I mean, it was incredible.
Yep.
I was so impressed that these guys knew their Bibles.
Yeah.
And they didn't just know it in a head knowledge way. They knew it because they were living it out.
Come on, man.
They were really working hard to obey the Scriptures. And that impresses people, guys.
Yeah.
It really does. It helps them, if they can have notes, to go have deep convictions of their own.
That's right.
If they're just hearing you lead the studies and they're not reading at home and going over these Scriptures, they won't have deep convictions. They'll believe it because you believe it. So you want them to get in the Word on their own. Now, a conviction that I have.
Come on.
You cannot lead these studies in a boring way.
Come on, Rob. Great conviction.
You can't even sit in on these studies in a boring way. It does not do justice to the Word of God.
That's right.
And you're not even supposed to come to church if you're a true Christian and sit there in a boring way.
Not the boring way.
Right? Isn't the Spirit working in all of us?
Yep.
I'm preaching the Word, but you're hearing the Word, and if you're a Christian, you're saying amen,
amen.
Which means so be it.
Right.
So our guests know you believe it too.
Come on.
And if you're tired, repent. Dig down deep. Get God on your side and be more giving. Are you with me? Amen. That's the way it is.
Right.
This may be the 100th time you've led the Seeking God study, but I guarantee you it's the first time that person's ever heard it.
Yeah.
Right.
And their eternity is on the line.
Right.
So if you lead in a boring way, it's my conviction, you're in sin.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We're not going to be boring.
Like
amen.
Come on.
Now, another thing. A lot of us like to talk.
Uh-oh.
There's only one leader in the study. You guys with me?
Yeah.
But you know, everybody wants, can I share a thought? Should I say, add something to that? Amen. And it's good to add. It's awesome. But there's got to be one person leading the study.
That's right.
And sometimes if that person doesn't lead and say, you know what, maybe you should share it after the study when you're talking in private. The study will be 5 hours long.
Yeah.
It'll kill the study.
Yeah.
The mind cannot take more than the seed can endure. Amen? And so, you got to keep these studies brisk and moving. Hit the point and move on. You don't have to study the whole exegesis of each scripture. You know, the deep triplicate version.
In Greek.
In Greek too. Hit the point and move on. Every one of these studies... It's a little harder when you're teaching how to teach. When you're sitting down leading this, you ought to be able to go through every study in about 45 minutes. Except for light and darkness, that takes a little longer. But we'll talk about that later. So, you got to keep the studies moving. Make sure you're working with the leader. Amen. Someone already believes in Jesus, you're going to go right in to Seeking God study, Psalm 119.
Come on, drive.
Amen. Okay, Esau, you ready to go here? I'm going to read the first scripture, Psalm 119. Let's read. Verse 1. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their hearts. Amen. Esau. What do you think that means? Esau looks at us. Man, Chris, I don't know. I don't even know what the word blessed means. You know? Say, so, okay, listen. The translation of the word blessed is really awesome. It actually means happy. More specifically, it means superlatively happy. So, reading it again, superlatively happy are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Now, doesn't that sound awesome?
Yeah.
But here's the problem. Most people in life aren't seeking God. You know what they're seeking? Happiness. And maybe they think money is going to give them happiness. Or maybe they think a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a job or career is going to give them happiness. But here's the funny thing about it. If you seek happiness, you're never going to be happy. It doesn't work that way. What the Bible teaches is, if you seek God, you'll be happy.
That's right.
So happiness is not the goal of one who seeks God. It's the byproduct. That's going to happen if you're really seeking God with all your heart. Now, Esau, what does it mean to seek anything with all your heart? Well, gee, just go after it. Give it everything you got. You know, full force. That's exactly right. Esau, is there anything in your life that you seek with all your heart? He may say, oh yeah, I love football. I seek it. Oh man. In fact, it was hard for me to come to church today because the Bears were winning 40-0 when I left to come here.
Amen.
It was so, you know, but amen, I know they're going to win, so I came on out. But I seek the Bears with all my heart. You may think that's funny. I said the Bible guy that sought the Yankees with all his heart. He either went to the game or watched it on TV. I am not kidding you. And so, after years of doing that, we say to the Bible, I said, dude, you've got to come to church. You can't stay home because the Yankees are on.
Yeah.
He repented. He came to church. 2 weeks later was the big baseball strike. God took the challenge right out of his face. You know? He was able to come to church and become a Christian. But maybe it's a sport. Maybe it's a girlfriend. Oh yeah, I've totally given myself over to seek this girl. She calls, I'm there. I'll do anything. And you know, that's the way people are.
Yeah.
Anything for a guy, anything for a girl. 100% full force. Or maybe he'll say, gee, I don't know. I don't think I've ever really sought anything with all my heart. There's a lot of people who live life that way.
Yeah.
They kind of go through the motions, watch a lot of TV, don't really have the gumption to get out there and go for something. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But you got to help him understand what it means to seek something with all your heart. And then, that's the way you got to seek God. God doesn't say half your heart. God says, you want to seek me all your heart. And that is how you become happy. Of course, seeking God means keeping his statutes. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, let me just add this for us Christians here.
Come on, bro.
It breaks my heart when I see Christians. You know, and man, Juan shared so powerfully earlier how he got off track, and he wasn't happy. He was miserable.
Yeah.
And he realized what it was. He had stopped seeking God with all his heart. In fact, man, you read Matthew 6, you ought to teach the seeking God study today. Amen? Because when Christians stop seeking God first with all their heart, and they start falling back, we start falling back in our old patterns of the world, and so we're seeking happiness again, some other way than totally about God, you're not happy.
Right.
And in a room this size, maybe there's somebody here today, and you're not happy. And you're like, I'm a Christian, why am I not happy? I want to put before you, you've stopped seeking God with all your heart.
Yep. Come on.
You're seeking happiness some other way, and you're not happy.
Yep.
If you repent right now, you can change it right now.
Amen.
And start seeking God with all your... And you know what it means. If you don't, you can't think of something, let's talk. I moved to New York City in 1985 to study theater. 18 years old. New York City. More people in my apartment building than my hometown. And I lived in one room with another dude. You know, just a studio, a little slum. Lived there to study theater. And if I was waiting for an elevator, I was going over, you know, tap move, or I was working on a song because I wanted to make it in the theater. What does it mean to see God? You may be standing in the elevator, but you're memorizing the scripture.
Amen.
You know, you may be standing in the elevator, someone's next to you, you're sharing your faith with them.
Right.
It is all your heart.
Yep.
And if you don't know what it means to do that, find someone that seeks something with all their heart.
Yeah.
It's the way the Bible teaches.
That's
the
right.
Only way
That's right.
to know God. Matthew chapter 6.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Now, Bobby going to read this scripture.
Come on.
Just straight up a little bit. Matthew chapter 6. It's a little longer here. That's okay. I'm ready to go, Chris. All right, Bobby. Let's do it. Matthew 6, 25. Let's read together. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. And you know, that's true scripture. People may not believe in the Bible, but they believe that verse. Guys, look at this. You say, Esau, check it out. We live in a troubled world, don't we? Each day there's a lot of trouble. Just to make the money, to pay the bills, do what you got to do. He says, like, yeah, man, this is tough. That's why I'm working here all day, every day. All right. So listen, here's what the Bible teaches. Even though life's so hard, life's difficult, what are you going to eat, what are you going to wear? The Bible teaches, do not worry.
Amen.
Do you worry? Oh, yeah, man, I worry all the time. How about you?
Yeah.
You guys worry about life?
Yeah.
What you going to eat? What you going to wear? How you going to pay the bills?
Yeah.
It's ironic. You can't add a single hour to your life. In fact, if you worry a lot, you have a lot of stress, you'll die of a heart attack sooner.
There you go.
That's right.
God doesn't want His people walking around like worry warts.
Right.
And I remember a great analogy of this. I've got a 10-year-old son, a 7-year-old daughter. I don't want them walking around the house going, am I going to have a meal later? Am I going to have something to eat? Now, I don't mind them going, how come that's what we're eating? Why can't we eat something else? Well, too bad, that's what we're eating. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But I don't want them worried about, am I going to eat anything? See, it's what you need versus what you want.
Yeah.
You with me here?
Yeah.
They may want pizza, but that's not what they need. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We wonder, well, man, I'm seeking God first. Why don't I have what I need? You do. You just want something else. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, come on.
But God says, and you got to know this, God is not stupid.
Amen.
Your heavenly Father is not dumb. He knows what you need.
Yep.
That's right.
You know, sometimes kids think their parents are stupid.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Man, they just don't understand how much I need this.
Come on.
You with me?
Yeah.
Do we look at God that way? God knows what you need. It says your heavenly Father knows. So don't be seeking first food, clothes, all this stuff. God will take care of it. What do you got to seek first, Esau? You got to seek first God, His kingdom, and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And I want to tell you something, Esau. I want to make you a promise. Next 2-3 weeks, you seek God. Seek His kingdom first. Well, I don't know what the kingdom is. That's okay. That's a couple studies from now. We'll study the kingdom. I'll show you. Show you how to do it. But you do it 2-3 weeks with all your heart, and I'm going to make you a promise. God will give you everything you need. How can you make that promise? God made that promise. Right there.
Amen.
Maybe not everything you want, but everything that you need. All right, let's go on. Acts 17.
Okay.
All right, Esau, you ready? It's your turn. Your turn to read. Now, you know, sometimes you study with people, and they've never read the Bible out loud. They're a little nervous about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you want to get them in there and help them realize they can read it. And then you don't always want to just preach to them what it means. You want to ask them questions. What do you see there? What do you see that the Word says? That way they have to get in there and wrestle with God's word, just them and God. Right? And maybe they'll be right, maybe they'll be wrong. That's okay. Maybe it'll humble them, go, I don't know, can you please help me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe you'll have to correct them, or maybe you'll go, that's exactly right. But you've got to get them wrestling, not with you, but with the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Acts 17:26.
Come on, bro.
It says here, from one man, he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this. Why? So the men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
Now, Esau, what's it saying there? Well, gee, man, that is saying that God actually determines the exact times and places where everybody ought to live. That's right. And why do you think he does that? Well, it says he does it so that men will seek him and that hopefully they'll find him and he's not far from anyone.
Amen.
That's exactly right, Esau. And guys, here is where you put faith. You put real faith in God's word into someone, perhaps for the very first time. You say, Esau, I want you to understand something. The reason you and Bobby work at the same place, and the reason you went to lunch in the same cafeteria, and the reason he sat down with you was not by chance. God determined every bit of it.
Yep. Amen.
God led him and you right together so that he would teach you how to know me. That's what God
did. Wow. Come on, bro.
God did that. It was not coinkydink. No coincidence, right? Only God incidence. God makes it happen.
Right.
Now, any of you Christians here today?
Yes.
Doubting that? That God determined the exact time and place where you are. See, we got to keep that faith.
Amen.
God put us right where we need to be. Now, we make the choices. But man, God is working overtime to make sure we get led to the right place where we can seek Him. And not just seek Him, but where we can find Him. Amen?
Yeah.
Christian meeting is not by chance. It is of God. John chapter 4.
Come on.
Again, you want to hit the scripture, move right on. You can always read it again later. You want to make sure they got the points. John chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 23. Okay. It says here, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Esau, last scripture we read in Acts 17. What was that all about? Well, that was teaching that men got to seek God, and He'll set it up and perhaps they'll find Him. That's exactly right. What is this scripture here teaching, though? This scripture here tells you, Esau, that yes, you got to seek for God, but God is seeking you. God is seeking people. Now, is God seeking just anybody? No. It says right here, it's men who want to worship Him in spirit and truth. Women who want to worship God in spirit and in truth. Those are the worshipers God is seeking. But it's so cool to show somebody, yeah, you got to seek God, but God's seeking you. And one of the best analogies I've ever heard is someone takes their kids and you go shopping in a supermarket. Right? And let's say you ever been shopping and you turn around to pick something up and you look back and your kid's gone.
Yeah.
Woo, parents go, absolutely. And how do you feel at that moment? You feel scared to death. You know, on the trip we just took to Florida, Maria was in a lazy river, floating along, lazily. And all of a sudden, we go, where's Maria? Oh boy, it's hard to keep up in those, you know, they move a little quickly.
Yep.
So, we didn't know where Maria was for a little bit. Guess what we did? We just went back to the hotel and figured she'd find us.
No.
You know, we left her a key at the front gate of our Magic Kingdom, you know, whatever. You know. No, you're seeking that child. Man, your dad or mom in that grocery store, you're going up and down every aisle. You're hoping you didn't miss, right? And you're looking, Esau.
Right.
That's how God is looking for you.
Yep, that's right.
God's seeking after you. Amen. You got to keep seeking Him. Acts chapter 17.
Come on, bro.
Now, again, you keep rotating the readers. I'm not going to keep telling you that. Acts 17, verse 10. I'm going to read 10 to 12. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. Amen. I know the women were prominent, but there were a lot of guys. Amen. That's awesome. What do you see here, Esau? Well, man, there are these different kinds of people, and some were more noble than the others. Exactly. Now, if you want to be noble, what do you need to do? Well, it says here, they were noble because they eagerly examined the scriptures every day to see if what this guy Paul said was true. Exactly. Now, if you want to be noble before God, you've got to examine the scriptures every day too.
That's right.
That's why we're taking notes for you. You know, that's why Bobby's taking down these notes so you can go home and you can study it out. If they needed to check out the Apostle Paul, you better check me out.
Amen.
Yep.
I'm just some guy. And if you go home and you study these scriptures and you go, well, man, that's just Chris and Bobby's opinion, then wad up that paper and throw it away and be about your way.
Right.
Okay? But if you go home and you study this out and you see, this is from the Word of God.
Yeah.
And it's not Chris, it's not Bobby, this is God Almighty, your Father, seeking you and telling you what to do. And you got to obey Him as your Heavenly Father. Well, that is intense.
Yeah,
it is. It is intense. But again, I got to ask you, Esau, hey, tell about this. This is a challenge, but are you up for the task?
Come on.
You got to eagerly examine these scriptures. That's why you'll notice at church, the Christians bring notepads. They take notes during the sermons. You know, that's not just to criticize every preacher that's up there, but you've got to take those notes down, whether it's me preaching or Roger preached last week or Anthony or whoever. You want to know, bottom line, is this from the Word of God?
Yeah.
So you've got to eagerly examine these scriptures. And you can open your Bible. You can read before what we read. You can read after what we read. Take notes. We'll even get with you and spend some time in the mornings doing it with you. That's what we in the church call a quiet time. That's how you learn to study the scriptures. But Esau, you got to eagerly examine them. And you know what? Let me encourage you. I think this is who you are. Man, you set the study up quickly. You came. You even brought a notepad and want to take notes for yourself. I want to encourage you. The way you've been in the study, you're going after it. I want to encourage you to keep that up. See, you've got to learn to build people up.
Yeah.
That you're studying the Bible with. Now, you don't want to flatter them if it's not true. But everybody needs encouragement.
Yeah.
And so you want to let them know what they're doing that's good, as well as challenge them what they need to change. Amen? So, but again, this is our quiet times. How are we doing with our quiet times, brothers and sisters?
Come on.
Are we eagerly examining the scriptures every day?
Come on.
Studying these out, looking at our notes from Sunday, from midweek, just the scriptures that we've been digging into to change our character.
Amen.
Working on what we need to work on. Amen. This is the way to do it. To get your own convictions and to study every day. Jeremiah 29.
Come on, bro.
Alright, now we're going to the Old Testament, Esau. Jeremiah. One of the famous old prophets. Oh yeah, that's what that guy Roger was talking about. Yeah, every time he preaches, he's in Jeremiah. That's exactly right.
Amen.
He loves Jeremiah. Chapter 29. And we're going to read in verse 11. This scripture is really going to encourage you. Verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with half your heart. Now wait, Chris. That's not what it said. Oh, thank you, Saul. I'm glad you're checking me. That's good. You're eagerly examining. Sometimes I throw that in there just to mess with you. Amen. So Esau says, no, it says all your heart.
Yeah.
I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity.
Amen.
I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Esau, this was written. This was God speaking to Israel at one of the worst times they ever faced before. They were exiled from God. They were away from God. God came to them at one of their worst times ever and was encouraging them. He was letting them know, man, it's a rough time, but I'm with you. I have plans for you. Not plans to harm you, because they were being harmed.
Yep.
You with me, guys?
Yep.
It was a rough time. But he said, no, I have plans to prosper you, give you hope and a future. But you got to seek me with all your heart.
Amen.
Esau, I got to challenge you again. God has an individual plan for your life. Plan to prosper you, but you're only going to find God when you seek Him with all your heart.
That's right.
You ready to do that? See, again, you can't just wait till the end of the study to challenge Him.
Come on.
After every scripture, you got to get it in there. Every scripture means something. I'm scared about this. It's tough. But yes, I want to do it. Amen. Let's keep reading.
Come on.
Acts chapter 8. All right, we're going to look at a guy here in Acts chapter 8, Esau. That he was seeking God. He was seeking God, and we're gonna see him find God. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Okay, we're gonna read about Philip and the Ethiopian here, and I'll read this. It's a little story here. I'm gonna read it and explain it to you. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road." The desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone from Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stand near it. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like sheep to slaughter. And as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus.
Amen.
As they were traveling along the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Amen. That's what Dre's thinking. Amen?
Amen?
And he gave him orders, stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water. Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing.
Amen.
Now what a story is that? Esau, you ever read that before? I never ever heard that story. Well, let's go back over it and talk about what's going on. This very important official, right, is coming all the way from Africa to go to Jerusalem and worship the temple. So what does that tell you about this guy? He came all the way from Africa. He was really seeking God.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're not talking airplane. We're not talking Hummer through the desert. We're talking slow chariot type travel here. He went all the way to worship God. He was seeking God. Now, he was an Ethiopian eunuch. You know what a eunuch is. Bottom line, eunuch is somebody whose male private parts have been taken away from when he was young and raised up to be in that role he was in. Now, why do you think that happened? I'll tell you why it happened. Because he was going to be serving around the queen. And they wanted to make sure that nobody serving around the queen was going to be messed up with other motives. They're going to serve the queen right, and not hurt the queen in any way. That's who he was. He came all the way here to worship, and he was going home. And look here, very important. The angels and the Holy Spirit were working through Philip and told him to get up to that chariot.
Right.
And so what does it say? He sauntered on over.
No.
No. He ran.
Right.
He saw, when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you get your butt moving.
Yeah.
And you do it. You know what I'm talking about? So he ran up to the chariot. And what's important to see here, the angels and the Holy Spirit were involved in helping this guy know God.
Yeah.
God saw he was seeking, but God was seeking him.
Yeah.
And so God, just like said in Acts 17, determined the times and places, he sent Philip over, just like he sent Bobby over to your table. So that you could know him.
Yep.
And he goes up, God was involved there. And then, second point I want to make here to you, Esau, is not to be afraid to ask questions about the Bible or life.
Amen.
If you're going to seek God, and you know you haven't been seeking God, you got to be humble. Look at this guy here. Philip goes, do you know what you're reading? He could have said, of course I do. Who the heck are you? Back off, buddy. But no, instead he said, how am I going to let someone tell me?
Right.
Let someone explain it. Maybe he was frustrated. Maybe he'd be sitting there, who is this? Is this the prophet? Is this somebody else? Fired up, someone came to teach him. So he invites him up. He was humble. And you got to be humble, Esau. And then he teaches in the Bible. He starts with that scripture. Of course, who was he talking about? Talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Led silently to the slaughter. Did Jesus protest during his crucifixion?
No.
During his passion? No. He humbly went. He started right there teaching him about Jesus. Esau, you're going to need someone to explain the Bible to you. Part of your learning to see God, you're like, I don't know how. You got to let us teach you the Bible.
Amen.
Just like we did today. He explained there's a series of studies that we're going to go through. It's going to help you understand how to seek God. And then, of course, after the Ethiopian was baptized, what does the Bible say about him? He went on his way rejoicing. Man, let me tell you something, Esau. You're going to be rejoicing when you find God.
That's right.
Again, you saw one spirit earlier today.
Come on.
By being reunited with God. I'm not going anywhere. Let me ask again, brothers and sisters. Is joy missing? Is any joy missing?
Come on.
Because you're going to go on your way rejoicing. Even though it's a long way. Even though it's a rough way. A troubled way. But man, when you found God, and He's with you always to the very end,
yep,
you're going to be rejoicing.
That's right.
But when we're all alone, we know God's not with us. Man, David shared about when he was away from God. When he fell away, David Cadell, he shared, man, I knew God wasn't with me.
Yeah.
Now it's going through life. When you feel all alone, taking on this world by yourself without your Father, now there's a time you're not rejoicing.
Right.
God says, come to me and you'll be rejoicing. Matthew 7, one more scripture. Matthew chapter 7. This will be the last scripture here, Esau. In verse 7. Says here, Esau, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone. Okay? This is for everyone, Esau. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Here's a guarantee. And it's a guarantee for you, Esau, and for any of you here today. Guarantee. If you seek God with all your heart, you will find Him.
Amen.
It's not amazing unless you don't give it your whole heart. I don't know why I hadn't found him. Maybe you're not giving him your whole heart. Maybe something's choking you out. But you will find him. But you got to do what it says here. Ask and you'll receive. So you need to ask. So we're going to close the study just like we started with prayer.
Amen?
Amen. And I'm going to start praying first. Now, the reason I'm not going to let our young fired up Christian Bobby go first is because if he prays first, he may pray for an hour. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to ask Esau to go first because, you know, maybe he's even scared to pray. Sometimes I don't know how to pray. So I'm going to go first. I'm going to pray briefly, concisely. Amen. Hopefully Bobby will imitate. Or otherwise we'll have a good talk after the study. Amen? And then by that time, Esau will have some encouragement and he'll be able to pray to God.
Yeah.
Listen, I've studied the Bible with so many guys who they've never prayed out loud to God before. Maybe you remember the first time you did, in front of other guys. You don't talk to my father in front of these other dudes. You don't know what to say. You have to think, look, just talk to God like you're talking to us. Just talk to your father. You know?
Yeah.
And it's so incredible to hear some of someone's very first words they've ever spoken to God.
Yeah.
Or ever spoken publicly.
Yeah.
Or amongst other people. Ever prayed. So very precious.
Yeah.
To hear. And now, Esau, I want to encourage you. You came here today, you're trying to seek God, we've taught you how to seek Him, and now you've spoken to Him. Incredible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What an awesome start. But now, before we leave the study, what do? You set up the next study.
There you go.
Right. You strike while the iron's hot. You want to go ahead and say, when can we get together again and keep studying? And remember, you've already explained this, just a few studies, 7-8 studies, where once we go through them, you're going to know exactly what you need to do to see God. And so, you try to set up quickly. Maybe you want to study again that day. When I studied the Bible, back in 1990, I studied scriptures. And I remember I studied a study on Saturday and went to church that next day. I was blown away. I said, this is home. This is incredible. But nobody studied with me till Thursday that week. They kind of dropped the ball with me. I got met in New Jersey, but I ended up studying the Bible in Manhattan with some guys in there. Anyway, long story. By Thursday, I studied the Kingdom Study in the afternoon, which we're going to study next Friday night. Went to a party with everybody, and then studied discipleship that night. I studied twice a day and was baptized that Sunday. It can be, man, it's boom.
Come on.
I was seeking God. I knew what I was learning was more than I'd learned my whole life going to church.
Yeah.
I believed in God, and I wanted to obey the Scriptures, and nothing was going to stop me.
Amen.
In fact, it was my fault it was so late. The night I did discipleship, the Jewish fellow that was studying with me, I told you about earlier, he said, hey, I can see you're seeking. I will stay up all night with you if you want.
Come on.
So now I got to go to a rehearsal tomorrow. I play saxophone in Brooklyn College Jazz Band. We'll find you a saxophone. Stay here. He was going for it. You know what I'm saying? I said, no, let me go on home, get some rest, and we'll study tomorrow. But that night on the way home in the subway, I shared my faith for the very first time.
Amen.
I was scared to death, but they challenged me after the subship. So I was sitting by these two guys on the PATH train riding home to Jersey, and they were drunk as skunks. But hey, they were lost too. So I got to share with these guys. So I got up the nerve and I shared my faith with them.
Come on.
And we got in a really interesting conversation on the way home. Amen. That was awesome. So you want to go ahead and set up the next study. Amen.